This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Following is a free preview of the Doughboys Double, our premium episodes available at patreon.com/doughboys. Welcome to Doughboys Double. I'm Nick Weiger, along with the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell.
It's Mr. Slice, by the way.
Whatever it is, it's our final episode of Dog Dough Bark Fest 2021 in the studio, a month-long grillabration of hot dogs and pet dogs. And Mitch, those roughs will soon be waving goodbye to forever.
That's right. I can. Woofy and Gurma will no longer be my pet dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They may be my pet something else's that I can't mention, but per the rules of this month, where I Woofy and Gurma, you can explain it and I can't is the thing, is the rule.
Yes, Woofy and Gurma, your two dogs, must be referred to as such this month. They cannot be called cats or by their cat names, Wally and Irma. But as this month ends, as if they were turning from stone back to living creature.
Yes,
and their souls are rejoining their bodies via a magic mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Wally and Irma will become cats again.
I'm going to find Harlan Williams. Is his name Harlan Williams?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find Harlan Williams and kick him through a mirror. And then Woofy and Gurma will revert back and the spell will be broken.
That's when we'll know that Dog Dough Bark Fest 2021, a month-long grillabration of hot dogs and pet dogs, is finally over.
Once the Harlan Williams cracks the mirror, the month is over.
So look for that. And hey, what a guest we have week's episode! How
exciting
to have him back.
By the way, I did high pitched barks for this because I was going before, but this is we got puppies on the brain.
We got puppies we're talking about today.
Yeah, introduce our guest.
We got sweet puppies, and we got the sweetest little guest. From Love and Don't Stop or We'll Die, Paul Rust is back. Hi, Paul.
Hey. Hi, guys. It's really good to see you. Thank you so much for having me on the pod.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for making time for us. It's always a delight to have you here.
Hey, you could ask for any amount of time for me. You could ask for 25 hours of the day, and I'd give it to you, okay? I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too, buddy.
This sounds like one of Harlan Williams' spells.
Well, he casts a spell with any character he plays, but that is a wizard. It was two spells.
I feel like I don't know the Harry Potter lore, but when they were saying spells in this, I was like, I feel like they just are doing Harry Potter spells, right? They're just, it's that same formulation where they're like, halt us to get someone to stop, you know? They just add us to the end of it.
Yeah, at the end of the movie, I just watched, which I did for, that was Micah's nickname, by the way, but I just watched the end of the movie, and they say, protect us, and that is one of the, and I was like, that sucks. I mean... Let me just be clear, not the only sucky part of the movie.
Well, before we get to that, let's talk about hot dogs, because that's a big part of this month. And Paul, I know you are someone who likes yourself some tasty treats, and I know you like fast food. Where do you stand on hot dogs?
Ooh, well, I love hot dogs just in general.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys are going to or just have been to New York. One of my top five favorite things to do in that old Big Apple is to see a hot dog cart and walk on up to it and eat a hot dog while I'm walking around. Mm-hmm. Maybe hold a cold can of Coke in 30-degree weather. I love it. I do. I love it. There's a picture of me in New York holding a hot dog and a can of Coke with like a huge winter jacket on and a stocking cap on. And I have like the biggest shit-eating grin on my face. I'm so happy.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a pig in shit. I love it.
Yeah.
If the city of New York is the Big Apple, then the hot dog is the worm, Wags.
Very good. What are you? You're getting a dog from a stand in New York or wherever. What are you putting on that bad boy?
I know some people call it red, but I call it ketchup. So I put ketchup on, and I know ketchup, some people call ketchup, it yellow, huh. Yellow.
Yeah,
you guys call it probably yellow, right? Because you're from yellow, SoCal, yellow. Nick, and you're from the East Coast, Mitch.
Yeah, red, and yellow.
Yeah, I call it mustard.
Mustard. Oh. Okay. So these are like regionalisms because you're from Iowa, and that's kind of what they say up there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In Iowa, okay. I think in my county, I feel like in most counties they say red, yellow, but in my county they say ketchup and mustard. And so I'll do ketchup and mustard.
So and what county is that? I'm just curious.
Red county.
Got it. But it's a blue county, right? Like very democratic.
Yeah, politically they're very blue.
Right.
Hold
that's
on a
actually
minute.
That's actually the one statement that's not true in all these shenanigans we're pulling here.
Paul, what do you call green?
Oh, do you mean relish?
Yeah,
relish. Okay,
I've heard of it. I've heard of relish before.
I know it's confusing. People think it's weird because it's usually a verb that people use.
Yeah,
right.
I said to Nick right before this. I said I'm going to relish this episode. That's what I said to him.
Yeah. Well, I was eating a hot dog before the episode. I was like, I'm going to relish the red I put on this thing.
But was that all that was on there was red Wags? It was just, and also you're not eating meat, so it was just a bun with ketchup in it, correct?
Yeah, it's just a bun with red, yeah. Is the, it was so, wait, so you're saying you put, you just do mustard and ketchup. You do red and yellow.
Yep, just, and I'll just make it easy for you guys and just use the terminology red, yellow, because I think it'll get confusing if I say ketchup and mustard.
Right.
So yeah, on my hot dogs, I'll put on red, yellow. Like I grilled hot dogs a couple weeks ago at home. And I put red and yellow on those.
Red. I love red on them. God, red. I sound like freaking Andy Dufresne over here.
He was always calling for his friend.
He's always calling for his friend Red.
Multiple times.
That's why if you look closely, a lot of times when he's calling out his friend's name, Red, a lot of shots get blown, takes get blown because somebody will start running up holding packets of ketchup.
Yeah, well, they're like
Tim Robbins is demanding it.
They're like some PA is like terrified of losing their job. They hear the actor demanding some red and they hustle in with them.
I think Tim Robbins is known typically as a very chill guy, though, so I doubt that would happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so,
real life, he's like, I've heard he's super cool. So we probably shouldn't have even said that.
There's some behind the scenes, like DVD extras of Morgan Freeman chewing out the PA, which is, they're kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he didn't mean ketchup, like he's yelling at him about. He's yelling at the PA. That's actually the only special features. It's just shots of Morgan Freeman yelling at the PA.
Dressing down various crew members.
I watched those special features a long time ago. I think it was like back in college when I saw them. But I remember one point he like picks up the PA just by a single ear and just kind of lifts him up off the ground. And he yells into the ear, are you not understanding me?
Yeah. And it's kind of threatening, but it's also like funny because it's Morgan Freeman's voice. So it's like, you know, he's like yelling that, but with
He has such a famous voice.
Such a famous voice, we all know. So that's what he's yelling with his Morgan Freeman voice.
Are you not understanding me? It sounds like that. It's very, it's very good. It's very good like good. That.
That was great.
That was good. Hope you don't grab my ear.
Don't infamously grab my ear.
Lift you up off your feet.
Do you know who that PA was? That's like what's interesting later is he just seems like a normal PA, but do you know who he grew up to be?
Well,
no.
If I had a guess from all this ear pulling, I would guess that he turned out to be Alfred E. Newman with those big ears.
He did become Alfred E. Newman. That's right.
Oh,
with
wow.
With those big ears. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Hold on a second. Who did you think he turned out to be?
Tom Hanks.
But you were wrong.
And Frank Darabont met that Tom Hanks, that PA on the set of Shawshank, and he was like, "You'd be perfect for my next movie, The Green, Green Relish Mile."
Yes, that's funny that it's funny that Tom Hanks was in Forrest Gump and then went to PA on Shawshank. Is that
tough
timeline
town.
Right, Wise?
Yeah,
I think it's a tough industry.
I think he won Best Actor for Forrest Gump the same year he was a PA for The Shawshank Redemption.
Well, you never know what your next gig is going to be, you know?
My question is, what is Hanks acting right now or is he PAing? I'm not sure. I didn't know which one he's doing at the moment.
Well, he got COVID, I remember.
Oh, right. So maybe he's PAing again.
Maybe back to PAing.
I think he got COVID because he was PAing.
Right.
It was before protocols or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Also, can I ask a question, Paul?
Yes.
Why did, in that story, it seems like a young PA, Tom Hanks, would have a high voice. But why did Frank Darabont have a very high voice?
Well, you got, I don't want to be telling tales out of school.
Yeah, the Hollywood secrets.
Well, we could just say, apparently he had a serious addiction to helium.
Oh boy. That's tough because that's a non-renewable resource. So in addition to the damage you're doing to your body, it's just so wasteful because there's only so much helium on Earth and it's running out.
Yeah, so what? This guy can talk high in front of his friends?
Yeah.
No.
And it's funny and his friends are impressed. Like, I get it, but...
Where is all the helium stored? Is there like a big balloon that it's kept in?
Yeah, I didn't know this, Nick, that it's not a renewable resource.
It's apparently a growing crisis because there's so much, and you know, it's one of those things where people are like, and yet there's helium balloons everywhere, but that's such a tiny percentage of it. It's mostly like industrial and lab use that's running through our helium supply. But yeah, I believe it's mostly in pockets underneath the earth, and there's no way to make more of it. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Oh man,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
A birthday party with sad balloons just flopping around on the ground because there's no helium? I don't want to be at that birthday party.
Yeah, that's...
I'd rather be on the goddamn moon!
I agree.
Right?
I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, we had a block party. There was a block party on my street. Mm-hmm. And there was a helium tank, and like we had, like all the kids had been like sucking helium straight from the tank.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I was like talking like in a high voice, being like, "Hey, man, look at me." And then I did it like five times. And then I remember being like, "Oh, I feel weird." And then the next thing I remember is I was laying in the middle of the street.
Wow.
And I looked up, and a car was parked. Mrs. Tufo's car was like right near me, and she was talking to my neighbor, Mrs. Shinnick. And I was laying down and I was like, "Did I get hit by a car?" And then I kind of like stood up and I realized that Mrs. Shinnick and Mrs. Tufo hadn't seen me, but I had just passed out from sucking helium. I had sucked too much helium. I passed out in the middle of the road. And both of them like didn't care. There was like no. no one like was like, are you okay? They were just kind of like, what the fuck is he doing? It was kind of the look right. on their faces. And I was also in my head, I was like, would she have run over me if she didn't, if I hadn't like stood up? Like that was my thought after the fact.
Was but she in her car?
She was in her car and her car wow. was running, but she was just in park talking to the neighbor. So, right. or maybe she saw me and was just like, I'll just talk to the neighbor for a minute and I'll see if he gets up or something.
Could have been.
Mitch, that means if she had run over you, that would have meant if people had reflected and thought about like the last words you had said before you died, you would have had a high voice when you were saying,
"Ay caramba."
Goes on your tombstone.
Hey,
in a real small font.
I mean, I'm already going to have "Ay caramba" as my epitaph, but for it to make sense too and have it be my last line, I guess that'd be good too.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
But we're talking about Mitch. Mitch would say "Ay caramba," sorry.
So how far away was the street from where you were sucking helium? Like, do you know how far you traveled?
No, I don't remember that specifically. I think I took a few steps and just went down is what okay. I thought. But I also just remember being, did no one care? Did no one see me? Like, it was such a weird experience.
Well, it was helium. It's possible you floated above everyone's head and then gently landed in the street and fell asleep.
I yeah. figured that could have happened.
Or yeah. not so gently. Maybe it was like one of those like...
right.
Which was whipping around all over town, a la Turbo Man at the end of Jingle All the Way. We have the technology for jet propulsion. We will use it only at the Thanksgiving Day Parade and Jingle All the Way. Hot take.
Hey, and we're talking hot dogs and we're talking movies. Mm, do you ever
right.
get yourself a hot dog at the cinema, Paul?
Wire. Gosh dang it. You're tearing from the headlines of my life. I went and saw that new James Bond movie. I was heartbroken they didn't have hot dogs there.
Oh, man.
Because I do get a hot dog as much as I can get when I go to the movies. I love it. And I love it so much, I'll save it. I won't eat a bite during the coming attractions. I'll save it until the movie starts before I start eating my hot dog. So I get to have some while watching the movie. So then, yeah, the Chinese theater, they didn't have any hot dogs. They just had nachos. So, yeah, big time. I'm a big... Now, I don't think I've ever cooked a hot dog at home and watched a movie at the same time.
Oh, I thought you meant in general. I was like, that's a very funny detail.
No, you know what? I bet at home I've eaten a hot... Of course, eaten a hot yes. dog while I watched a movie at home. But, you know, it's way more special when it's at a theater.
Right,
you
for
know,
sure.
No, what I gotta say is, too bad you're not friends with Q, because then you'd probably have, you know, some sort of hot dog hat or a...
Hat?
What?
Or a device that...
We call it a hat dog bond.
Oh. Q from James Bond. I had QAnon on the brain.
Oh,
I thought
Jesus.
You meant Q,
per
the guy
usual,
who's...
Weiger.
Wags, hold on, Paul and Wags, I have to take a break. I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay, Mitch has to go to the bathroom. Here, here's what we'll do. We'll take a little bathroom break. We'll be right back with more Doughboys Double.
Mitch, listeners, did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen to this. That's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. And Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Wow. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Mitch, you know what I love about Babbel is the courses are convenient. They help me learn real-life conversation skills in my chosen language, Spanish. Makes it easier to order food, ask for directions, speak to people here in Los Angeles without having to consult language apps while you're on the go.
Well, Wags, studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
And you don't want to go anywhere near a college campus these days with all those protests.
No thanks.
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Wags, and all those protesters out there, here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/Doughboys.
Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/Doughboys, spelled Babbel.com/Doughboys. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mitch, how's your social battery right now? Is it drained, bursting with energy? How are you feeling, and how did it get to this level?
Wise, we just did two episodes of Doughboy, so my social battery is a low.
Well,
I'm shutting down.
I understandably, because it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you, Wags, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Me, I've benefited from therapy, as have many people that I love. And, you know, here's the thing I can say. Whether you've been in therapy or not, there are benefits for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it's not just for those who have experienced major trauma.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Doughboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Doughboys. Welcome back to Doughboys.
There's no welcome back. There's no breaks and doubles, right?
We just threw one in there.
We're going to put a fake commercial in there?
Yeah, we'll put a fake commercial in
there. Can we play the commercial for Spooky Buddies or something?
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Weiger here. Let me take a second to tell you about Spooky Buddies. Now, Spooky Buddies is a 2011 direct-to-video comedy, but don't let direct-to-video deter you from wanting to watch this thing, because it is an intriguing, hilarious, and honestly spooky piece of cinema. You can find it on Disney Plus. And right now, if you subscribe to Disney Plus with promo code Doughboys, you'll get 20% off the price of that first month. That's right. Promo code Doughboys for 20% off your first month of Disney Plus. Check out Spooky Buddies. Tell them Weiger sent you.
Dear God. You're covering for me, because we were recording and I made like butterball. My stomach hurt. And I was about to shoot some brown gas out of my luckily there was no demon hound.
God, it's so gross. Yes.
Was it Hellhound? It's not the Hellhound.
I think it's the Demon Hound. Yeah. Demon Hound.
Since you mentioned Butterball, can I share with you just my favorite joke dialogue in this movie?
Yes. Yeah. Please.
Okay. So all the spooky buddies are all talking, and somebody goes, one of them goes, they're after our blood. They go, no, that's vampires. They're after our brains. That's zombies. They're going to devour everything they see. That's Butterball.
Yeah, that's good.
It is good.
I love that. I laughed.
That's good.
So the buddies are, there's five of them. And this is so what happened was, I guess we'll just take a walk back to where this franchise begins. The Air Bud franchise begins in 1997, and Woo. It actually had its origins in Stupid Pet Tricks on The Late Show. There was a dog who could play basketball, a golden retriever, and this created the inspiration for the franchise.
All great comedy leads to Letterman.
It's true.
That's true.
We wouldn't have Spooky Buddies unless the original Air Bud had appeared on Stupid Petrix.
And this, so after Air Bud, the dog was so good at basketball that he went and played basketball professionally, and that's why they moved down to the Spooky the Buddies series. Is that correct, Wags?
Well, so that was part of it. He was in the NBA, and had a great storied career. But
the National really Bark Association.
They did. Yeah, they did change it to the National Bark Association during his time in the league.
Do you remember when that happened? Charles Barkley was like, not bad.
He liked it.
He liked it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone explained that it wasn't for him, but he was just, you know, whatever, people, whatever, yeah,
people,
it's fine.
People in the locker room are like, shh, 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 just don't tell him. Don't let him know. Yeah. Don't. Did Air Bud win a title with the Kobe and Shaq Lakers?
He was on the 2004 team that lost to the Pistons.
Oh, wow.
So he was on that team, but like, and everyone thought like, oh, Air Bud's finally going to get his title.
Yeah.
And, you know, justify why we called it the National Bark Association. It just didn't come true. But then he ended up getting one with San Antonio. He signed with them
later. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But remember when they played against the Pistons, the Lakers were favored to win because in the Pistons, like, two of the players were turtles.
So the Pistons thought that they could kind of, you know, counter-strategize by getting some turtles, and it worked.
Well, it worked for them.
Yeah, it worked out great for them, so.
And let me just tell you, if you don't remember this, where the hell were you?
Yeah, if you don't remember the 1998 basketball championships. No, if you do remember them, you weren't there.
So the first Air Bud film is Air Bud is playing basketball. The titular character is a golden retriever who plays basketball. They make four sequels with Air Bud. They make Air Bud Golden Receiver. He plays football. Air Bud World Pup. He plays football international, soccer. Air Bud... Seventh Inning Fetch, he plays baseball, and Air Bud Spikes Back, he plays volleyball, which is the point where they're kind of out of ideas. So then they do
Liger commentary, easy, okay, a little editorialization from Liger here.
Oh yeah, the claws will come out when it comes to the Air Bud franchise.
I feel like you would have gladly written the volleyball Air Bud story.
I would have kept making them. I don't understand why they stopped. This is just, there's so many other sports.
I know why.
I think I know why too. Because
I saw the first Air Buddies, and you see Air Bud, the original Air Bud, and that thing is like on death's door. It's just like the dog is just like so meek, and like they just kind of like, you could tell they dragged it out and were like, action, like in the 2 seconds before it died.
I thought they stopped making them because when Air Bud was in the NBA, he kind of started the malice of the palace. He like had run out into, he was the first player to run into the crowd to start the fights. Is that true, Wags?
he was on the court, and then someone threw a bone at him.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, because someone threw the cup at Ron Artest.
Ron Artest, and someone threw a bone at him.
And someone threw a bone at Air Bud.
Cups.
He loves them. But they were both set off, and they both charged into the crowd, and that was, you know, it was a mess.
Yeah.
So yeah, they kind of had to distance themselves from Air Bud, and the way they did it was by launching the Air Buddies franchise.
That's right.
So the first one happened. Air Buddies is like the buddy, and then I guess Molly is the female dog who Buddy fucks. Air Bud has sex with and has five puppies. These five puppies are Rosebud, B-Dog, Buddha, the aforementioned Butterball, and Mudbud.
Oh,
and
they all kind of have
their own characteristics, their own character games, if you will. After Air Buddies, they make Snow Buddies, which is an Alaskan adventure. Then they start getting weird. They make Space Buddies. Space Buddies end up going to space. They end up getting on a rocket ship and they go to the International Space Station, I believe. They find there's like an old cosmonaut. I actually watched this at your apartment, Paul.
I ordered it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, we watched Space Buddies on Blu-ray.
I own a few of these on Blu-rays. I love the Buddies movies, just by the way. I think that's maybe partly why you guys had me on, but
for sure.
I want it to be said.
Well, Paul, I also similarly have watched Spooky Buddies at your place the first time I saw it as a part of your Halloween movie marathon that we would do.
That's right.
Near Halloween, where
with
we would watch.
And Neil Campbell.
You and Neil Campbell put it together, and you put together quite a show, and it starts off with, this was the starting movie for one of the years back, I think at your old, the apartment you used to live at back in the day.
With my roommate Channing, you guys remember him?
Yes. Yes. He's done very well for himself.
Yeah, he's done well for himself. Moving on.
You haven't seen him recently? Do you guys not keep in touch?
How could you not see him recently? Is kind of.
Oh, he's on every billboard in town. Yeah, I know.
Anyways.
So he's apparently a movie star who makes untold millions, but he can't pay half a deposit. So I thought that was interesting.
You know what? You know what I always thought?
Still better over that.
I always was like, this guy should step up. You know, pay the bills.
Oh, it's not Channing Tatum.
Oh.
Oh, it's
not? Are you saying step up because he was in the... Channing Tatum was in those movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, who?
No. This is Channing Glacier.
Oh, Channing, that was Channing Glacier? He looked so different, I remember when I met him.
He looked different because that was before he got cosmetic surgery.
Okay, so that kind of set his career aflame, ironically, considering his last name is Glacier.
Yeah. Anyway, so well, yes, Channing Glacier was my roommate, everybody, blah, 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 who cares?
He was late on paying those payments. He paid at the speed of a glacier, if you ask me.
That, yes, thank you.
Wow. I can I just say, and I'm not just saying this to placate you, when you said it was Channing Glacier, not Channing Tatum, I was a little disappointed. So I think, honestly, Channing Tatum is better. And that's just me saying what I think. That's not me trying to say, to make you feel better.
I appreciate you saying that. I don't think you're placating me. Lots of people have said that to me. I'll say my roommate Channing, and then I'll go Channing Glacier. After a few minutes, they go, I've never heard of this guy. I think you meant Channing Tatum. So I think that's a similar experience for other people.
Yeah.
But to be clear, yes. Channing Glacier is also a big movie star that's in a bunch of movies, right?
Yes, and there's billboards of him all over town.
Yeah, I've seen the billboards. Not really as familiar with his movies. I know Channing Tatum's movie's better, but he is everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like actually, a Harrison Ford movie. You know they exist, but nobody ever watches them.
Right.
We're getting so... Okay.
So Space Buddies comes out in 2009. This is when the series starts getting weird, yeah.
I didn't want to say, but... I did want to. You were about to say something about Channing Glacier, and I feel like you cut yourself off, Wyke. So I wanted to.
Yeah, what were you to say about him?
I was just going to say, like, I was just saying it because I didn't want to feel like I was left out. But I honestly have not seen his billboards.
His what?
Around town. I have not seen Channing Glacier's billboards around.
Oh yeah, no, I haven't either.
Okay. Yeah.
When I come to think of it, I have neither seen a single Channing Glacier billboard or movie.
Or maybe the person. I'm trying to think. I was talking to somebody about this, and I was saying Channing Glacier, and they said he might be... What did they say? They had a word. Oh, I remember. I was talking to my parents about it, and they said, do you think this Channing Glacier might be... The word they used was... figment.
Right.
Like a figment of my imagination. And I think they might be onto something.
Well, it's hard for me to tell because I was there at these movie marathons. And I too remember him. So I don't know if it's one of those occurrences where like a hometown.
I remember the guy.
A town
shared
goes,
figment.
a shared figment. Hey, shared. You're almost there. Oh man,
shared
Siri
Fig
came
Newtons.
On because I was saying how about I don't a know how Fig Siri Newton? Was summoned by that.
What?
I'd like to share. If you shared a fig, another fig that you could share is a Newton. That's more fun.
Yeah, it's a. Paul just
that's
said
what
that.
I was saying, but what were you
oh,
saying?
Oh, you know he did? My yeah, Siri was that. Talking to me. I'm sorry.
You missed it. He got there first.
Got there.
I don't want to disagree with both of you. I don't think I'd want to share a Fig Newton. I think they're too small.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or you could share a package of them. Anyways.
A package you could, yeah.
Anyways.
Anyway, we're very happy for Channing Glacier.
Anyways, Channing, by the
way. Yes. Congratulations, Channing Glacier.
I don't know. At this point, I don't know what you are jealous of his, but I will say this. Either
well,
you
I
or
know
him,
what I'm jealous of. He's Figment. He's playing Figment in the Epcot
that's
movie.
Right. Yeah. That's right. That's
good
right.
For
he
him.
Is. Oh yes, that's right. He is an actor.
When my parents said, "Is he Figment? Is he a Figment?" I said, "Yes, he's playing Figment in the Epcot movie."
Check that out.
To picture your parents who are worried about you making up a person, then hearing you say that he's playing in the Epcot movie.
Oh my God. If my parents sincerely were like, "Paul, this person you keep referring to, I think he might be a figment of your imagination." And my response was, "Yeah, he is playing Figment in the Epcot movie." They would be so concerned.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
So the Air Bud franchise ends in 2003.
Yes, I was going to say that. I saw it at the movie marathon. It was the first unscary movie that then went to much scarier movies.
The night is programmed very well, as you were saying, Mitch, and I've been to it a couple of times, not as many as you have, but it starts with the least scary movie, works its way up to the scariest, goriest movie, and so you stick around for as much or as little as you can endure.
Yeah, and all credits due to Neil Campbell. He's the true programmer of that, the spirit. He finds all those movies. But
the architect in the Matrix.
Nick, you said 2000, yes, the architect. Did you say 2003? That was
2003
the last...
is the final Air Bud film.
Oh, good. Okay.
So the Buddies franchise launches in 2006. Air Buddies I talked about, Snow Buddies, Space Buddies I talked about, where the series starts getting weird and more adventurous. Santa Buddies, they team up with the Puppy Paws, who have their own franchise.
Oh yeah.
and they go to and here is the plot of the Puppy Paw of Santa Buddies. The Buddies team up with Puppy Paws, the son of Santa Paws, to end the melting of a magical icicle threatening Christmas Eve. So, kind of a global warming parable, I guess. Then Spooky Buddies comes out in 2011. Treasure Buddies, which I've also seen at Paul's Place, comes out in 2012. This is an Indiana Jones-style adventure. And and then Super Buddies, they turn into superheroes. That's 2013. That's the final of the Buddies films. There are also, as I mentioned, two Santa Paws films, which is The Search for Santa Paws and Santa Paws 2, The Santa Pups. And those are different characters.
Right when, it said they stopped right when the Marvel, they were kind of when Marvel things were getting hot, they made a superhero movie. Wise, we're not going to detail it, but There was a terrible accident on with Snow Buddies. This is true. Yes. We won't get into the details, but I was shocked that the movies went on even after that. But they went on for a long time. Basically, they went on for years.
Yeah, they kept making them, and I think they are very profitable, and kids love them. I do want to mention real quick because I talked about watching Space Buddies and Treasure Buddies. With Paul and Paul, there's two things
fun.
I remember. Very fun. There's one thing I remember is that there's a scene in Treasure Buddies where they have all five of the buddies in a hot air balloon over the Sahara Desert, And I remember you laughing and pointing at the TV and saying, the dogs don't know they're in a movie.
Which... that thought crossed my mind watching this.
What do they think is happening?
Yeah,
and then I also remember you getting so the movie was pretty bad, and then at some point you just said, I'm sorry, and you turned it off. So.
I had an inner voice say that to me about Spooky Buddies in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Where I wanted to, my soul was asking me to turn it off. And Weiger, as long as we're talking about memories of the buddies and buddies related material, you wrote one of the very best episodes of the Comedy Bang Bang show on IFC, the famous Chumleys episode, which was
God bless you.
22-minute spoof of the Buddies movies. It was the best.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you. That was
People
fun.
People have to check it out on that AMC app. Hey, man, right?
Is that what it's on?
I think the so, AMC yeah. App? And Birthday Boys.
Yeah. Yeah. we're on AMC Plus. Yeah, but that's all on AMC Plus. Everything you need.
Is that what it is, AMC Plus?
Yeah. You got Don Draper and the Buddies parody and the Birthday Boys all in one spot.
Yeah, it's people thought it was American Movie Classics, but it's actually American Mark Classics. Like National Bark Association, but
yes.
Mark.
Mark?
Bark.
Oh, I thought you were going to say mutt.
Oh. Should have said mutt.
Well, it is Mark. You didn't say anything wrong.
You didn't say anything wrong.
No, I should have said American Mutt Channel.
Well, that, might be, that would be wrong because it's American.
That's like a punch up of what the actual thing is. But you were just saying the actual thing. It's not your fault. That's what it's named.
Well, right. Yeah, you're right. I forgot.
Don't be sad. If you thought of a better name for McDonald's, you wouldn't be sad when you said McDonald's, you know?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, it is funny that I bought, I have reflected on that, the ironic purchases of my 20s to watch these movies with my friends have now led to sincere viewings by my daughter.
Aww.
While I'm in my 40s.
That's funny.
And so sweet. That worked out.
It's not all my dirtbag friends ironically laughing at family entertainment.
No.
No.
Is your daughter also laughing?
I do like a low budget, low drawer or whatever, junk drawer family movies, though. They're the best because, like, any kind of low budget movie is fun to watch. Just anything that exploits a market. Mm-hmm. But what I love about people who make garbagey family movies is like, yeah, we want to make a quick buck, but we want to bring families together and entertain them.
Yeah.
So, such a funny mixture. Like, it makes sense when a horror movie is like, yeah, we want a quick buck and we're going to show you nudity and gore, but it's so funny to be like, we're going to work really hard to have these digital mouths on these dogs' faces.
Speaking of those people who make these kind of films, Robert Vince directed this film, produced this film, and co-wrote it, as he has done for every single Buddies movie. This guy has worked with the Air Bud franchise since producing the original Air Bud, and then he eventually took over helming these films. By the time of the Buddies franchise, he directed, co-wrote, directed, and produced every single Buddies film. So it's all Robert Vince for the
most
part.
When did he stop directing them?
Through the final one, through Super Buddies in 2013.
Yeah, I think I've seen all of them except Super Buddies. I'd be interested why he stopped making them.
I looked it up right
because
here on
my
phone.
Because I remember around that time, one of the, I think it was one of the Super Buddies, the female Super Buddies. She had a kid and it was like half human.
Ha 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 ha
might have been one of those things where just some of the higher ups like, let's put this guy out to pasture quietly.
Right.
Paul, I think you might be right because it says the night Super Buddies wrapped filming. What's his name, Wags?
Robert Vince.
You're reading this and you have to ask his name.
I think he was just quizzing me.
What?
He was quizzing me. Yeah, he likes to quiz me sometimes. Yeah. It's like trivia guys will be like kind of like try to alpha each other. It was one of those things, but I know it's Robert Vince.
The night that Super Buddies wrapped filming, it says they wrapped. Robert Vince went back to his trailer, shot himself in the head.
And so, oh my God.
Maybe he'd receive some news about a future.
Yeah.
Human child.
Yes, outside the trailer that he was heard to say, "What have I done? What have I created?"
So, I think one weird thing about this movie as a film.
One?
As a piece of cinema. Well, there are many weird things, but one thing I will say is that they have some really great comedic actors in this movie who are given pretty straight ahead roles. Like, for instance, Ryan Stiles, the funniest. Ryan Stiles, Diedrich Bader, these are hilarious actors.
These guys are really fun.
Diedrich Bader plays the Halloween Hound, and Ryan Stiles plays Hoot the Owl. And these are all just kind of exposition characters. Like they like the Halloween Hound is like a secondary villain slash, you know, is talking about all, is just advancing the exposition. Same deal with Ryan Stiles as Hoot. It's just like you didn't want to let these guys be like funny, silly animal characters. You didn't like that. That was an odd decision.
I had the same thought because I thought, Diedrich Bader doesn't get to be funny because he's. I mean, he's awesome because they're great actors, so they
do it
well.
Good.
But like the Halloween Hound is just scary. He's not funny. And then the owl, he's not funny. He's like the heart. My God, the longest scene in the movie is at the end when the buddies have like an intervention with him about how he's being mistreated by the warlock.
Yes.
And they're like, maybe you need to reflect upon your feelings. It was
then,
so weird, right? It was like that 3-minute scene.
And then the Halloween, and then the what's his name? Harland Williams turns him to stone while he's midair, and the stone statue falls on the ground, and you see its wings flop about.
It kind of bounces.
It bounces around. Clearly not a stone statue.
I think my favorite prop was that kid's wand that they were what mystical realm did this come from? It looks like it's from fucking Target.
the other, and you know, there's also, you know, like Pat Finn's in this, you know, there's some very funny people in this.
Surfer Frankenstein dude.
So he gets to be funny in a kid's movie. But Harlan Williams, who's Warwick the Warlock, I was like, man, I think Harlan Williams is so funny. And he's given so many performances that just like really make me laugh. And I was like, oh, okay, he's going to be a big goofy wizard. But it's just kind of, I don't know if he's how he was directed or how he was written or what, but he has a few jokes, but it's mostly just a very straightforward antagonist role.
That's true. Yeah, at the end, he starts to have fun. I feel like kind of like in an emperor way when he starts getting like, I'm very sorry to say, like the patronizing villain thing. And then he gets to do some funny stuff with thinking the kids in costumes are real. Monsters.
Yeah.
Yes.
He gets scared really easily, which is fun. Like that's fun. Later on.
But I agree. I love Harlan Williams. I think he's so funny. And Rocket Man is a classic.
Oh my God, so funny!
I've watched Rocket Man probably close to a dozen times. It's really funny. Wow.
I will say, not intentional, but anytime that he rides the staff is very funny.
That is funny. He rides it like a surfboard.
Yeah.
Anytime he's riding it, it is very funny. I mean, like, I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's intentional. I will say this. the costumes and the set designs are very good in the movie. There's a lot of there's like a doggy door in the psychic dog's house, and that's funny. And a lot of stuff looks good in Halloween-y. So to give a plus side, a lot of stuff does look a lot of stuff looks nice. The sets look nice and stuff, but
it's lower budgeted, but I wouldn't say it's low budget.
No, it's a well crafted movie, and it doesn't look out of place among the Disney Plus library. And you know, I think the score is pretty good.
Just as far as the actors in it, the teacher of the town is Jan Brady from the Brady Bunch movie.
And, I noticed that, yeah.
And then the mom,
Jennifer Elise Cox is the actress.
She's from the Clueless. From Clueless, the actress from Clueless is his mom as well. So
The one who gets a nose job.
Yes, it is.
The one who has the tape across. Oh, okay. I didn't notice that. Yeah.
I thought you meant in Spooky Buddies. And I was like, I don't know.
You mean the mummy, Paul? Yeah, and I've have you guys ever met or worked with Pat Finn?
I've met Pat Finn before. Is he on Beer Shark Mice? Is that the group that he's in? Or he's in some Chicago-y group, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he's in that. Well, he could be. I worked with him on something and got to talk to him for a couple days. And out of college did improv with Chris Farley. So I got to hear lots of fun Chris Farley stories from him. But yeah, that's Pat awesome. Finn, very funny, good guy.
Oh, maybe that's just how I know Pat Finn is from Farley stuff. Yeah, I'm just looking. He went to Marquette too. So
that's right. Yeah, they went to college together. Then he's a lot in that Chris Farley show oral history book. Yeah.
Oh, that's
his
so
name
cool.
Pops up in that too.
He's very funny in it. The story wise, you're gonna say is a little wonky, which it is wild. I mean, like he's like turning villagers into frogs and stuff like immediately. There's a really a lot of wild stuff that happens just in the opening.
Well, already like it starts off and it's 1937 in this town of Fernfield.
World War II.
So it's way back in time, and you see these old timey cars. There's a whole bunch of it's a classic of angry villagers are storming a manor, but they're in the right. And I guess a subversion of the trope. He is a bad guy who had. And it's just like this cold open is so wild to watch because you've got five beagle puppies just like sitting obediently. Like the trainer told them to sit while they're doing the take. While Harlan Williams is walking around in front of a magic mirror as a wizard. And he says he's going to sacrifice all five of them so that he can bring the Halloween hound back through the portal.
Yeah, he needs to get the souls of five puppies with the same blood to summon the Halloween hound and open the portal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So he's in the process of doing this.
Right.
Four of the puppies, he steals their souls. They turn to stone. Now, Paul, I don't know how your daughter would respond to this, but I feel like if I was a kid, I would be terrified by this, watching cute little dogs turn to stone.
I was scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being honest here, guys. But I don't know if this was your experience or not, but I would say for me, the first 5 to 10 minutes was like very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first 10 minutes, I kind of was like, okay, they're just open the movie scary. Then they're going to like cool it off.
Right. Mm.
But like every 10 minutes, they would ratchet it up.
Yeah.
And so by the end there, in that last like 20, I was like breathless. It was like scarier for me than Hereditary.
Wow.
I mean, I saw Hereditary, and that was really scary, but...
Yeah.
My wife walked in while I was watching Spooky Buddies. She walked over to the couch. She was like, Paul, where are you? And she looked behind the couch. I wasn't there. Then she looked up, and I was clinging to the ceiling.
Wow. That's that. that alone is like Hereditary.
Oh, yeah. It's like a scene straight out of Hereditary.
Yes. Right.
So did you guys feel this way? Were you as scared as I was?
Well, I turned down a Red Sox playoff ticket last night to basically to stay in and watch Spooky Buddies. And then I said this to Wags, but telling my mom I have to go do work and then going down to watch Spooky Buddies makes you feel like the fucking biggest piece of shit on earth.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, it's a Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and I'm sitting down as a grown man to watch Spooky Buddies.
If someone had to guess the age of the person doing that on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. watching Spooky Buddies.
Yeah.
I'm sure they wouldn't guess my age.
No, they think it was a child homesick from school.
Yes.
It's not a thing an adult man does commonly. So what happens is four of these puppies have their souls sucked and trapped through the mirror, and the Halloween hound is about to reemerge. They're turned to stone. The final puppy has its soul sucked, but the soul does not go into the mirror in time. The wizard is stopped before this is able to happen.
Just those wondering, yes, the Halloween hound. Yes, the Halloween hound does suck their souls through their dicks. That's how he gets the soul out.
But here's what I'll talk about. Like this movie did not necessarily scare me, but it did make me sad when I thought of the reality that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
This young boy is trying to rescue his puppy. There's this little boy, Joseph, who's got to be like 7 or 8 or maybe 10 years old.
Maybe
at
even
most.
18.
He might have been 18. He's definitely a young boy.
You're talking about Joseph Johnson?
Yes. Joseph is trying to get inside there as a kid, and he doesn't make it in time. His puppy Pip has its soul sucked out and turned into a ghost that cannot leave the manor. So the warlock is stopped, but the ghost of a puppy lives inside this manor and lives there alone until the present. Doesn't that bum you out?
Yes.
Like a dog's soul trapped inside of a house, a haunted house, alone for 75 years?
It's heartbreaking. Yes. I don't like that at all.
Bum me out.
Can I also say that I understand Paul getting so scared after probably seeing what the spirit of the dog looks like? Because once you finally see the dog spirit in action, it's such a terrifying sight to behold.
Really scary looking.
Yeah, I saw him through my fingers.
And let me just tell you that one of his big monologues where you see him talking for the longest amount of time is when he goes to the psychic. And I don't know if the filmmaker noticed this, but you see him here. There's a light switch on the wall behind him. Did you notice this, Wags? That there's
he's translucent, right? He's like a ghost. You're seeing through him.
Yeah.
But it looks like the light switch is in the center of his chest, a la. I want to get the destroyer plans from Princess Leia tonight, or it's Chewbacca's head.
Darth Vader?
It did look a little Darth Vader-y there with the light switch in his chest. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Quiet, silent.
I liked
quiet.
It. I liked it.
No, I know we liked it. I just meant after we were done liking it, it was quiet.
So we cut to the present 75 years later, and the buddies, and I was just, at one point I wrote a note, who owns the buddies? Because I don't think the movie makes it super clear. Later on, I figured out that each of the buddies, who are Air Bud's spawn, canonically, belong to a different owner. So there's four kids, and their personalities line up with the personalities of those of the dogs, and they each take care of them. Once again, it's like we've got a situation where there are five puppies of the same blood, and this wizard is going to find out about it. It ends up being the driving narrative of the movie.
Didn't you think that was? I hadn't. I've watched this movie before and it didn't dawn on me until later. It's like a Kubrick movie when you rewatch, you're like, oh, new things to think about, to dig into. Right. But I thought, why? So the kids each have their own corresponding buddy.
Yeah.
But yes. The buddies are all related by blood. Those kids aren't all siblings. That's not a true one-to-one.
No.
No, it's really not.
It's really confusing. And also, it doesn't help in this movie that you can't really tell the dogs' personalities because they're dressed up in costumes. So you don't really know. Like, the personality is just like, oh, that dog is like a rabbit here. I mean, B-Dog has his chain and
Mudbud never got muddy. I mean, his thing is that he likes to get muddy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And, like, was he the one in the pirate costume?
I think yes.
That thing was spick and span. It was spotless by the end of the night. He didn't get any mugged.
Yeah.
It should have been like a swamp thing or something. So they spend a lot of the movie in costume. Before they get that, they go to the
Nick.
They're at yes.
Hey Nick, I agree. He
should have been a swamp thing too. I agree with you, man.
Okay, good. Yeah. So
I wanted to ask a question. Uh-huh. Now that we're talking about the buddies, where are the buddies now in 2021?
Good question, Paul.
I looked it up. Do you guys want to hear?
Yeah, please. Yes, please.
Mudbud is now a producer.
Hey.
Oh, good for him.
Buddha?
Yeah.
Retired to be a family man.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, he made some money with the Air Buddies films. It's good that he wants to enjoy his life.
Maybe he took on a Buddhist lifestyle. He just decided, hey, I got to step away from Hollywood, you know?
I think that could be. Rosebud won her Oscar, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
That, right, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That was the year Channing Glacier hosted.
Easy.
But didn't Rosebud bite Channing Glacier?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That was a whole thing.
Right on his iceberg. Butterball died of a milk bone overdose.
Oh, that's sad.
And B-Dog is my friend.
Wow.
Well, I'm happy for you. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He seems cool.
Yeah,
so B-Dog has to say they're at the haunted house. They're on a field trip.
I gotta B-Dog had the only normal trajectory, really.
B-Dog gets coaxed into saying Halloween Hound. This is the rumor in the town that if you say Halloween Hound three times in front of this haunted, spooky mirror we saw in the cold open, you will summon the Halloween Hound.
That's right.
And he goes to do it. Pip, who is the ghost puppy, again, this ghost puppy who's been living in this manor for 75 years, tries to warn them, but they're scared that it's a ghost, and they get out of there. And then Billy, who is the kid who's the B-Dog's owner, gets caught in a moment where he has to like talk about his school project, and he makes up that he's going to talk about the Halloween Hound, and that leads to him finding the wand.
I love that part, Weiger, when the teacher was like, "Do you have your assignment? Will your assignment be ready?" And he's like, "When's the due date again?" or something like that. And then the bully, this is how like wholesome this movie is. The bully makes fun of the kid for not knowing the due date.
Yes.
You should get yourself an assignment notebook, you dork.
These children who got turned into rats, basically. These are the kids who got turned into rats. Is that correct?
Yeah, and one of them is Pizza Rat.
That's right. These are the two no good kids get turned into rats. They actually end up doing good.
And did you notice the other actor, Rance Howard, Ron Howard's dad, Rance?
That's right.
Yes, Rance Howard is in this. Rance Howard, so what ends up happening is that, I mean, we don't need to go through this fucking garbage beat.
Oh, but dude.
I was going to say that Pizza Rat was like, you may not understand me, but your kids will love me. And they took a slice of pizza and ran off.
Right.
Oh boy, Mitch. Mother's Day's coming up. You got sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. Mm. Unfortunately, Mother's Day gifts can be a little predictable and boring. That's why an Aura frame is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Dreaded bathrobe covering mom up? Ugh.
Get that sweater off of you. Too many layers.
Wags, that's right. You know what? I'm guilty. I've given my mom too many of these boring gifts.
Yes.
Some sweaters, some candles, some dreaded bathrobes.
I've accidentally given my mom the same gift twice.
Wow.
It's really embarrassing. Or you end up getting like, oh, I guess I'll give you a gift card. I don't, you know, like it doesn't feel like there's any love behind that.
Well, guess what, Wags? I've also gifted my mom an Aura frame. That's right.
Wow.
This is the truth. Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and come with unlimited storage so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame.
Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll also love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
That's right. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code DOUGHBOYS at checkout to save. And you know what, Wags? My mom liked her Aura frame so much. This is true. She got my sister one. And now my sister's got one in her dining room.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Terms and conditions apply. Send photos you want from your phone to mom's frame. In fact, Mitch, I'm going to send your mom a photo right now.
The hell?
Enjoy, Mrs. Mitchell.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
You're talking to your mom, right?
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So they, basically, they're trying to figure out what to do with the staff. The release of the Halloween Hound and the staff means that Warwick's soul can reemerge from the magic mirror. And then most of the movie takes place during Halloween night. The kids are out trick-or-treating. Honestly, I think I've shot a trick-or-treating scene on the street they use in this movie. It looks like it's at the Disney Ranch.
Which one did you shoot there?
I was working at this Adult Swim show. I was working on NTSF, SDSUV. It was like an action. It was Paul Scheer's show. It was like an action sci-fi sort of thing. And this was it was like an ET episode, basically.
Oh, fun.
So we shot a scene like that then.
Did you say Disney Ranch? Well, if you've been to the parks with me, you know that when I go there, I not get myself a churro. I'm not getting myself a big pretzel. I get myself some Disney Ranch.
That's right.
Just a little cup.
I know. I once saw Mitch at a Disneyland with a big turkey leg.
That's true. I got a big turkey leg. My main thing for me, the biggest thing of all is the what is the Dole Whip. A Dole Whip is.
Oh yeah, I love that Dole Whip. A lot of fun.
I like my whip.
Was that, hey, Mom, how about Bob Dole?
Likes his whip. I should have said instead of Bob Dole, I should have talked to the third person instead of saying, I like my whip. Probably would have helped out a little bit more if I said, Bob Dole likes his whip.
That would have been more clear, but don't be too hard on yourself because you nailed the Darth Vader earlier.
I thought you were going to say, don't worry, because even if you had, it would have sucked. did you hear this story? It is a funny story. It's in the Mike Nichols book that I read. by Mark Harris. It's a really great book. Mark Harris, best living writer right now about entertainment. He's the best. But this Mike Nichols book, Mike Nichols was offered The Exorcist and he passed on it and went to William Friedkin. And then John Calley, the head of Warner Brothers, when Exorcist came out, he took Mike Nichols down to the theaters and showed him all the lines outside around the block and was like, you see what you passed down? You could have been having right now the biggest blockbuster of the year. And then Mike Nichols told Nora Ephron that, oh, the studio head, he showed me what hit I could have had. And Nora Ephron said, no, don't worry. If you had made it, it never would have been a hit.
Oh, wow. My God.
But it's funny. It's true. It's like it is a nice way to look at it. It's like, oh,
yeah, it's true.
Just because something was a success, if I had gotten my dirty mitts on it, it could have sucked dick.
That's true. The same thing kind of happened to me with Spooky Buddies.
Oh, yeah. You were up for the Rance Howard part, right?
I was up for the old man role.
Yeah. And you got it because you were too old? You didn't get it because you were too old.
I didn't get it because I was too old. And then Ron Howard was like, he took me down and he's like, which is kind of weird just because it wasn't like I turned it down. I didn't get it.
No.
So what did Ron Howard do?
He took me, he brought me down to like the premiere of Spooky Buddies and there was like lines around the corner to see.
That's right. And this is Ron Howard doing this.
This Rance is Ron Howard, his son.
Yeah.
And he's like, see, this could have been you. I was like, what are you
Instead
doing?
It's my dad.
Yeah.
I'm proud. I said, all right. Like, oh, my ear. I was dangling off I was off my 2 feet.
Hey, guys, I was thinking about it. Next year, can we watch Ernest Scared Stupid together?
Yeah, of course.
I'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be great.
If it fits the theme.
Yeah, you got to do blue denim vests month. I like that part, Weiger and Mitch, when the kid was like, the mom was like, I got you a new costume, a hip hop rabbit. And he said, no, I asked to be a hip hop rapper.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is a hip hop rabbit?
Well, I got to put some of the blame on that kid who said, Mom, I want to be a hip hop rapper as well. That is very bizarre.
What a weird thing to say.
To request to be a hip hop rapper.
Yeah, he should have said, I want to be a hip-hop artist, or I want to be a rapper.
It could have been, I want to be a rapper, I want to be a rabbit. The hip-hop does not even need to be an element.
Yeah. But then Wigs, it makes sense that the mom would hear hip-hop rap, a hip-hop rabbit. Wait a minute. I was now in my mind, I was thinking that the hip-hop made her think of Bunny.
I think that's what the idea is.
But she heard rabbit anyways. So she heard She heard hip hop rabbit from her son and thought it meant like a rapping rabbit?
No. No, it's just a straight up rabbit. Her ear kind of narrowed in on hip hop meaning jumping. Mm-hmm. So she could only hear rapper as rabbit.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, well.
There's TikToks or stuff. Like, you can go and somebody goes, hip-hop rapper. Hip-hop rapper. And, like, half people think rabbit, half people think it's rapper.
I've watched these before, and it will blow you away how much people can confuse the two. But also...
Well, I listened to it, and I didn't even hear hip-hop rabbit.
What did you hear?
Pee, poop, pee-pee.
The old man, Mr. Johnson, rescues the kids. It turns out that this lonely old gravedigger, it turns out that he was the same kid from the cold open.
That's right.
Who lost his dog, So he's just there lived was no, in the same there was no house.
There was no mystery behind this.
It was very it was very telegraphed.
Except for the fact that the man was 90, you know, he would be 90 something at that point. 90
he'd be
plus.
So fucking old. So again, yeah. this movie just bums me out when I think about it. It's just like this man, this kid is separated from his puppy at a young age. He's so traumatized by it that he's just kind of locked into this one way of life. Is a lonely old man.
Yeah.
With no, like, companions or friends.
But
or,
I thought it was funny when he rolled up in the car and was like, kids, we gotta go. And he just, like, if an outside observer was just watching that, they would see an old man roll up in a car, corral five children into his car, and drive away. The parents are nowhere.
The thing I liked about is when the old man's in the car, and he's like, hey, why is this kid dressed up like a pee poo pee pee?
Right. It's funny because I watched that same scene. I heard him say, why is this kid dressed up like a hip hop rapper?
Oh.
So it's like, it's just, just however your ears hear it.
Oh, interesting.
They go through a bunch of this stuff. He takes the pups hostage. He's going to, you know, be able to turn them into, he's going to finally be able to summon the, the Halloween Hound is already back and like walking around with him, but he can finally open the portal and I guess take over the entire town and ultimately the world. The dog is ultimately going to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the dog is the MVP. The Halloween Hound is maybe the MVP of the movie. He's very, even though he's supposed to be spooky, his lines, there's a lot of funny lines that he says, which is Diedrich
Bader.
Yeah. He's
yeah. We talked about it earlier.
No, well, I didn't think one thing about him was funny. I thought he was scary.
I don't think you're really, I thought he was kind of just a scary guy.
I mean,
did you have any lines you noticed?
Yes.
Well, show us how you thought the Halloween Hound was funny, Mitch.
At one point he says, damn, his sibling souls were delicious. He does say that.
What? He says damn?
I can't tell if it was autocorrect on my phone that changed it to damn.
Well, I just want to say something about the kid actors because I thought they were really fun and funny. And my favorite thing about movies with kids and actors and stuff is like when they'll like improvise, they'll get an opportunity to improvise or something. Like there was a part where they all had to go. They're like, well, let's all go. And then as the kids are leaving, they're all going like, yeah, okay, let's get out of here, man. Like, it's just funny to it. Goonies is pretty hit or miss, but it actually has my favorite stuff is like when you can tell a line was obviously just ad-libbed by a kid. Like when they show up at the well part and Mikey just goes, oh, it's a beautiful waterfall. Like, what? No screenwriter would write, it's a beautiful waterfall.
I found another Halloween Hound line that's funny.
Oh, okay. Please.
Hold on. I lost it. Oh, wait, no. Here it is. Rats, another ridiculous chase. He says that at one point. After he chased
Is that when the rats, he's chasing the rats?
Yeah.
Yeah, so these two little boys get turned into rats, like we mentioned, one of them is a pizza rat. But they are on the side of good, and they're making mischief that is causing troubles for the Halloween Hound.
I'm second guessing myself because I read that line out loud. Neither of you are doubled over with laughter.
Well, this is the thing. I thought it was just I don't think it's Diedrich Bader's fault, but I just feel like all of his lines seemed very menacing and just all of his dialogue seemed it didn't seem like it could have been a goofier role, and it didn't seem like he's characterized that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's partly also because the it's like a mastiff or some kind of, it's like a pretty big dog with green eyes. It looks pretty scary. Yeah. So I think that it doesn't kind of look ridiculous. Anyway, what ends up happening? There's a part where Butterball farts, and
it's very brown. We should note that it is very brown. The stench, the fart steam.
Yeah, there's a visible brown fart cloud coming from his butt, along with a sound effect. He does that on command, and then that stops
and then
the magic.
When the Mastiff is getting farted on, the Haunted Hound, as he's getting farted on, did you hear what he said? He went, "This can't be happening."
Well, there we go. There's the funny line funny. He says.
I think I felt it. I knew what he felt.
And then that like stops it. That like they find this is a thing that I was like, this is an insane choice. Warwick, the warlock, is trying to read from his magical tome.
I know what you're going.
And he gave him the Bible. They did the switcheroo, and he's reading the Bible, and that stops him. I thought that was so crazy. What is happening?
Because like two scenes before that, they go out of their way to not describe the afterlife. Like the Rance Howard is like, we're trying to get the ghost into the netherworld. And a kid goes like, what's the netherworld? He's like, it's a place where ghosts live. Okay. Nice little gentle treatment of the afterlife. And then so I was like, oh, they're just trying to play it safe, not even get into any spirituality. And then they trick him with a Bible.
With a Bible. And also, in my mind, I'm like, well, it's funny because Harlan Williams, if this was his actual spell book, he would have just opened it up to a random page or maybe the first page. But then also, if that's the Bible, the first page of the Bible is Our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Anyway, they beat him with the help of the old man.
Yeah, and the townsfolk, the curse is lifted. And so, like, some people, you know, they were like dogs and they turned back into people, or they were frogs or something.
Yeah.
I was thinking it'd be funny. You know, the curse. Sorry, guys. I'm really giggly here.
We love it. Everyone loves it.
Just now, at this moment, is when I was giggly. I was thinking, when the curse is lifted, the whole town was like, yay, yay, yay. But I was thinking if one guy was like, I wanted to stay a frog.
That would have been a good joke. They should have thrown that in there.
Do you remember Mookie wrote a really funny sketch for Kiss from Daddy where a football coach, before a big game, is trying to talk the team out of winning the game because he doesn't want to get Gatorade poured on him.
Yeah.
The thing he keeps saying is like, it's going to be sticky.
And then it'd be like, well, we don't have to do it. We're not going to do it. And he'd be like, no, that's what you'd say if you're going to dump it on me. That's very funny.
At the end, the kid's mom, the actress from Clueless, when the spell is broken, she actually turns from a human into a frog. And then that kind of explains her whole hip hop rabbit thing. Like the kid is like, oh,
she
this
had
makes
the brain
sense.
Of a frog.
Yeah.
So this all makes
barely
more
understand
sense.
Words. The coda of this film.
That's why dinner every night is a plate of flies. That's the outline of the movie.
That's what Billy says. The coda of this movie is that Mr. Johnston, who is
this is insane, by the way. Yeah.
So Pip, the ghost dog, his soul gets reunited with his body. He comes back to life as a puppy 75 years later, as do the rest of the puppies whose souls were used to originally call the hellhound into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Now Mr. Johnston is reunited with his puppy Pip as an old man, a man in his mid-80s, and he has all the rest of the buddies with him.
I love this ending. Do not make fun of this ending, Nick.
I'm just going to say, like, if your 85-year-old father, like, got his, he's just like, hey, all these puppies came back to life.
Hold on a second. If my 85-year-old father was like, I got my puppy back from when I was a boy, I would, of course, be like, well,
Like,
this
okay.
is strange.
I'd be like, that's weird. That's weird, Dad. And then he's like, and I've got all of his siblings too. And then he's like, hey, I rented an RV and I'm going to drive around the country returning these dogs to their rightful owners. I'd be like, Dad, you can't do this. Like, you can't.
You'd be
I don't trust you to do this. I'm worried.
You'd be like, oh, Dad's sundowning.
No, I'll do it too. Watch me. He tries to get away from you.
He's getting behind the car and trying to drive it with the exhaust pipe. No, Dad, no. I just gotta put gas in the car, and he goes over and eats a leaf. No, Dad, no.
That actually happens to Harlan Williams in the film. He spits a couple of leaves out of his mouth. Leaves.
Commitment.
Yeah, he is.
I like Harlan Williams. I think he's good. I wish he had more funny stuff to do in this movie, but he's still good.
Very funny.
He's still good. And that's it. That's the movie.
I love the was your guys' first touch of Harlan Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, probably
Dumb and Dumber, because he's the cop in Dumb and Dumber, right?
Yeah, knocking back some of Grandpa's coffee.
That's what. Yes, 100%. Yeah.
And then of course, Half Baked is a big one.
Which one?
Half Baked. The movie, not the ice cream. Oh no.
No.
Good stoner comedy.
I saw him in Sorority Boys.
Yeah. I saw that in theaters, Sorority Boys, I remember.
Were you with your fraternity?
I was with my sorority boys. The whole crew. Well, I heard that at the end of the movie, the old man gets into the what's it called?
RV.
The old man gets into the... No, never mind anymore.
The Lee RV Oswald.
No, say it.
I was going to say that at the end of the movie, you see the RV crash into a tree with the old man behind the wheel.
Then you see his ghost come out and it's a dog.
It's like, what? The same
time. Yeah, that was the other thing. This movie was a real hodgepodge. You said the Harry Potter spells, but I also saw the old man from Home Alone with the Rance Howard
for
character.
For sure.
Yeah.
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 And then there was one other.
Cujo with the Halloween hound.
Yeah. And then what? I can't think of a funny thing.
Kind of. Oh, I thought you were looking for a real one. I was going to say
I tried to think of a funny
motif, everything about trick or treating.
Yeah. Oh, it did. I'm not saying they necessarily pulled from this, but when he was mistaking the costume characters for real, have you guys seen Space Invaders?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I like that movie.
That's
back
the inverse where the aliens come and people think they're kids in costumes.
Yeah.
So, bottom line is extremely hacky. This movie is extremely hacky and pulls from a lot of other stuff. But you know what? It's charming. And a lot of good performers in it. And now, Wags, we have to rank it. And I think that there's only one way we can rank this out of stone puppy turds.
The only way. The only option.
How many, which we don't get to see any of in the movie, which I was disappointed by.
Yes.
So we don't get to see.
But one has to assume that these puppies made of stone would have stone turds.
In their belly, if you go within their stone bellies, I'm sure that there's a turd that looks like a
So did you have to watch that Problem Child 2 scene of the dog with the big mound of turds just to get off?
Paul, on a scale of 0 to 5 stone dog turds, what would you rate?
What was the ranking again? Number of what?
Stone dog turds.
No, stone dog turds.
The number, though. What's the
five.
Scale?
0 to 5.
0 to 5. I give it 5.
Wow.
It's a masterpiece. I'm still in terror from it.
I'm going to give it 1.5. I think it's a pretty tough watch, but I think some kids would like it. I think I'm glad everyone got paid. I will just say that this movie is 88 minutes and feels long, and yes, kind of a sense of how much filler there is there's a musical scene at a school dance or at just like a town dance, and they play the entirety of the Monster Mash.
Yes.
Like, it's a full scene of just a cover band singing the Monster Mash on stage.
The sheriff guy is hamming it up so much in that scene. It's yes, wild.
I love it. The Monster Mash, when you heard that, Weiger, did it ring a few bells about a certain Leo Carpazzi song?
Oh, maybe. I actually didn't make that connection, but...
It's Roger Ebert's favorite spoof song, The Monster Fuck. Did you know? You knew that, Weiger, that Roger Ebert tweeted your video.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Before his untimely death, Roger Ebert tweeted, like, I think this is pretty funny. You should watch this. And he tweeted out your video.
Wow.
I heard he tweeted out, like, this is why I will die. And tweeted out the video.
And then the second one was, this is how I'll die. It just, when I was watching that Monster Mash sequence, I know you guys didn't like it, but when I was watching it, I thought, if I was a kid, this would have been my favorite part. Because when I was a kid, anytime a crazy visual was matched with a song that was good, I was just like, that's the height of cinema. And like,
sure,
when I saw it in Teen Wolf, when Teen Wolf is like, To Surf in USA is riding the top of the van going around town. I remember thinking as a boy, like watching it going like, this can't ever be surpassed. This is just like the the height of film.
Well, so yeah, happy. I think as kids entertainment, it's you could do a lot worse than the Buddies films on Disney Plus. So that's why I didn't go full zero and give it a 1.5, even though for just an adult viewer, it's maybe kind of not the most fun watch. Mr. Slice, what do you think?
Well, do I think that it's complete dog shit as a movie? Yes, but did I have fun watching it? And did I have a blast the first time I watched it with my friend Paul and my acquaintance? What's his name? Channing Glacier.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about him anymore because he just gets his power the more you talk about him.
That's right. I forgot that part of him too is...
Did you guys ever hear that thing about Contra, that the more bullets you shot, the more bad guys the video game produced?
Is that true?
I don't think it's true, but it always sounded like a little interesting moral parable we were being taught.
If games will sometimes have that as a difficulty ramp. It's just sort of like, you know, they'll but I don't think that was necessary. I don't think that was the case with Contra. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
To think, Wags, if we had not shot a single bullet, we could have won the Alien Wars, if you think of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, speak for yourself. I saw you shooting some guns at aliens.
Yeah. I know.
We lost the Alien Wars at home, let's be honest.
Look, white spikes, they're the
dog. I just heard 10% of your audience leave through the door, Weiger.
I mean, it's true. I mean, we lost that war at home.
Let me just say this: the white spikes are the buddies of aliens. They're the spooky buddies of the alien world.
They're cuties.
Yeah, they're cuties, and they talk too. They just cut all that out where they were talking to each other. But I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with my friend Paul and give it 5 stone dog turds.
Okay, well there you have it.
Because I had a blast talking about it, Wags.
This is an extremely fun episode and the funnest guest. Paul Russ, thank you for being here as we conclude Dog Dobark Fest 2021, a month-long grillibration of hot dogs and pet dogs. Anything you'd like to plug?
We ended it with you. We ended it with you, Paul. And not only that, but right near All Hallows Eve, right, Nick?
Yes. Well, our final episode, I believe, scheduling wise, will be our live show in New York. That will be the final thing released in the feed. But this is the final studio episode.
Mm. Ooh. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I had a ding dang blast. As always, you guys are the best.
We had a ding dang blast with you. Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, to plug. Mike Cassidy and I of Don't Stop or We'll Die. We have a podcast song a week. Every Wednesday, we have a new fully produced Don't Stop or We'll Die song come out that we host. And then also with Gorley and Rust, if you thought my thoughts and commentary on Spooky Buddies was incisive and correct, you might enjoy hearing me talk about horror movies with Gorley and Rust, with Matt Gorley.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Check that out.
Right. Great pods. Great people.
And why?
Hey, you guys are the great guys. Hey, it was a real pleasure.
What a treat. What a hoot.
Paul, to quote Rance Howard, it was a pleasure, dog.
Is that when the dog was licking his ear and you could see that they just like wedged a nugget of peanut butter in Rance Howard's ear before they called action?
But then also it's weird that you see them, they keep doing that even after the dogs aren't on him. Like he wants...
Yeah, like
it's a Rance Howard.
When Rance
request.
Howard was walking to his car after they wrapped up, that guy was still walking up and putting peanut butter clusters in his ear. Rance Howard no longer with us.
Yeah.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P.R.H.
Rest in peace. I also heard this weird thing that when he passed away, his spirit was also a dog.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
That was a HeadGum podcast.